this is the last Sunday of October. So we're completing this theme for the month that comes from our own Centers for Spiritual Living. And the theme has been spiritual living through love as safety. Interesting. We've treated it a little differently each week, but the phrase, the sentence from Centers for Spiritual Living that describes this is, we create a community-wide climate conducive to honest reflection and deep, direct communication. Now, doesn't that sound like an ideal family, an ideal spiritual community? How about an ideal world? I like that a lot. So today's topic is no more masquerading. And we do. We dress up as peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, as beautiful, radiant spider women, Ursula. Oh, Ursula. Octopus, right, Ursula Octopus. And I'm going to have the fun of continuing to look at this all morning. It's wonderful. Why don't you stand up and take a bow? I want everybody to see this, Ursula. Wow. You didn't get Payson to dress up. I don't want to know what he would have been. Well, what we are dealing with here is what the ancient Greeks called the persona. Remember, many of you have heard me speak of this before. The persona was the mask that the ancient Greek actors would use to speak their lines through. The actor was behind the mask, but the mask was portraying whomever they were portraying in the tragedy or the comedy. And by the way, they were all men, so of course they took the parts of the women too. Well, the persona, guess what word comes from that? Personality. And so we create this personality throughout our lives through which the spirit within us expresses, speaks, sings, expresses, behaves, connects, disconnects. But the spirit within is always the truth of us. So we are learning to remove those masks, as fun as they can be, at the right and appropriate time, to allow ourselves to remember who we are, to be able to see through the mask, the persona of all other people we encounter, and to go, you can't fool me. I know who you are. And it's a wonderful way to connect even without a word. As Rumi says, take off your mask. Your face is glorious. The face, your true face, is glorious. Why do we forget that? We have spiritual amnesia sometimes. We forget who we are. Then we come to a place like this with conscious, caring, compassionate people who remind us, oh, I remember, you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You can't fool me. And people will try to fool you. Can you think of any people in your world who have been trying to fool you? No. There's an authentic self within us all that is wanting with all of its heart to manifest itself in this world in all of its glory, this glorious being that you are. I don't know why the things that we learn, well, I don't know why we continue to learn them, but we come here to a place like this and we begin to unlearn. Because spirit within each of us is unimpeachable life, unimpeachable wholeness, unimpeachable love, unconditional goodness. See, when someone reminds us of that, we go, thank you. I forgot for a moment. I was thinking that I was in this human struggle and conflict. I forgot that I have within me all the power of the universe, ready to express itself so beautifully, ready to connect with each other being that I meet, with grace, with joy, with a desire to co-create a wonderful life and a marvelous world. So no more masquerading. We want to return home to the self. Go ahead and dress up and have fun, of course, but return to the self. One of my favorite parables, and it was Ernest Holmes' favorite parable, is the prodigal son. Here he was, living with his father, his mother, his brother, all of the servants in the castle, all of the people that co-created a beautiful place to be. This was home. Something within him, isn't it funny? They only call him the prodigal son. They never gave him a name. What shall we call him?
George.
George, okay. So George, one day, is that a good Jewish name? I'm not sure. George says one day, you know, something within me is stirring. It wants to get out there into the world. It just wants to go and find out what's going on out there. Similar story. There was a prince who had never seen the outside world. He only knew perfection. He only knew wholeness. He only knew opulence. He only knew loving connections and healthy environment. And one day he went out of the gates of the kingdom. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about here? And his parents didn't know, because that wasn't ever what they wanted him to experience. He went out of the gates and he experienced things. He saw things he had never seen before. He saw people begging in the street. They were sick. They were dying. They were miserable. They were starving. He never knew anything like that existed out there. And he did not return to his family. He became the compassionate Buddha. And he... God says yes. Thank you for that exclamation point. And gave us this wonderful philosophy, this beautiful gift. And Buddhism, whether it was in India or China or in the United States, wherever, brings us to that wonderful, mindful place where we have compassion for the world and ourselves and our loved ones, at the same time that we remember who we are, the Buddha within, the Christ within, the reality within. So, back to the little Jewish boy named George. He knew that he had an inheritance coming, and he said to his father one day, "Dad, would you just give me my inheritance now? Why wait? You know, let me go have some fun." So he gave it to him. He said yes, as the universe always says yes to us. And he took that money and he went out into the world. And it was a very short amount of time that he had wasted it all. And there was nothing to eat. There was no one to change his clothes for him or tuck him into bed. And he wound up having to get a job. Ooh. Anybody here have to get a job? I love work. Work, in my language for years, has had a capital W. I love my work. It's holy work. We want to enter into everything that we do with this consciousness of joy on the job, my holy work. Anyway, he didn't enter it like that. He just needed to eat. And do you know what the job was that he got? Feeding the pigs. Not Not a nice thing for a good Jewish boy to do. And he was lying down with them. It was the only place he had to sleep. One day, he came to himself, it says. He came to himself. He awakened. He remembered. Even my servants at home do better than this. And he arose and he went to his father. Jesus' dialect of Hebrew was Aramaic. And so what he said as he was walking down the road toward his father and saw his father coming toward him to greet him was, Abba, Abba, Father. I mean, how close can a person be to his or her awareness of the divine connection than Father, Father within? And Jesus taught us so many beautiful things, including, I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within. It is the power within. It is the source within. It is the co-creative activity within that does it all. So here's George, smart enough to come back. And his father is walking toward him to greet him. This is such a beautiful story. It reminds us that once we awaken, we don't have to crawl back on our bellies over broken glass. Just walk back home. Come back to our source, which is always loving and welcoming and rejoicing in our return. A little more to the story, though, huh? Because he gets back home and his father gives him a party, cooks a fatted lamb. It's hard for vegans to understand that, but it was a party, okay? And puts a ring on his finger and a special robe on him and welcomed him. This is what happens when we come back to our truth, is that all of the good is there. And what we thought we lost comes back to us multiplied, manifold. There's always more. But he had this older brother. Remember the older brother? He said, Pops, what was the older brother's name? You want a name for him?
Fred.
Okay. So Fred, Fred says, Pops, I was the good son. I did not leave. I was always here. I remembered that this is where I belonged. I didn't go out and waste my fortune. I didn't get a party. I didn't get a ring. I didn't get any kind of acknowledgement or celebration. What did his father say to him? Beloved, all I have is thine. All I have is thine. Right where we are, all of the good of this universe is trying to give itself to us. Whether we're the stay-at-home or whether we're out exploring, and we take those byways and we take those highways and they lead us back home. I've had a long and glorious life. I expect to have an even longer, more glorious life. But I must tell you that everything I have ever experienced, even the things that were painful, and I wondered how I was going to get through them. Anybody have any of those? They have all contributed to my glorious expression of greater life by remembering, by being reminded of who I really am. We have a number of people here taking the spiritual economics class. Wonderful class, huh? Wonderful book. Eric Butterworth. And in this last chapter, we were reading about the problems that we have that we want to change into projects that can seem so overwhelming that that's all we see. We're not seeing how beautiful life is and can be. What we're seeing is like this little pebble that's the condition that we think is ruining our lives. I can remember when my daughter was a freshman in high school, charming, beautiful child, of course. And she came home and said that a senior boy had asked her on a date, and I said, no. And she said, Mom, you're ruining my life. Turned out that I didn't. And so we have this, we think this is ruining our lives. This is the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me. How am I going to get to it? And it's like a pebble that we are looking at. All we can see is the pebble, and it is not very pretty. What we do is begin to remember, to be reminded, in a community like this perhaps, to be reminded that it's a pebble. And so as we begin to get it further from our eye, we realize it's really not that big. It's not blocking our entire vision anymore. And the farther away it gets, the more healing we do within ourselves, the more willing we become to drop that pebble. And where we drop it on the road in front of us becomes a part of the road that is not only for our recovery, but for our thriving and for our new life and our beautiful new expression of wholeness. So whether we're Fred or George, it doesn't matter. All of the good that God gives to us every day is available to every sentient being. What a beautiful message we have as we allow ourselves to live it more fully. See, there's the road, and the pebble is on it, and we're walking into greater light. Then we find that we are the ones we've been waiting for to make a difference in our own lives and in this world. No matter how we try to pretend that we're something or someone other than we really are, naturally, innately, ultimately, the mask comes off. And there is real safety in remembering. So it ties in with our theme, which is love as safety, because once I am established in my authentic self, it's easy for me to connect with your authentic self. That's when we have the possibility of the namaste consciousness and conversations where the divinity in me sees the divinity in you. You can't fool me. You can't fool me. And you're beautiful just as you are. So as we awaken ourselves, it becomes easier to help others awaken. There are a lot of promises in the Bible that I totally believe. One of them is love never fails. Love never fails. Because when we really enter into that deep experience of divine love, which is always possible for us to experience, no matter what may be going on, we are either lifted up or lifted out of that situation. Lifted up, lifted out, lifted is the operative word here, right? So it's a wonderful thing to realize that this unconditional love, unqualified love, is the reality of each of us. No matter how somebody may be speaking or behaving, love is the truth of us. And when we learn to trust that everybody has within them that divine love and that infinite wisdom, that no matter where they are on their path, no matter where we are on our path, it's the right path. It's the divine timing. And we don't get to decide how someone else should be behaving right now. Oh, really? Let's talk about that for a minute. How many of you are familiar with Emma Curtis Hopkins? Some people consider that Ernest Holmes is our father and Emma Curtis Hopkins is our mother. She said, we are slaveholders when we think people should be a certain way. Whoa. Let's just think about that for a minute. When we finally come to regard ourselves and one another as on our sacred, perfect, holy path, we're no longer going even in our mind to be telling people, you should be different than that. It's so freeing, so incredibly freeing, and it develops such beautiful relationships to let people be who they are and to know within our own hearts and minds, even when they don't seem to remember it, that they are the beloved in whom God is well pleased. And where each of us is on our path in that sacred moment is exactly right and perfect. Can you think of anyone you'd like to practice on with that with this coming week? We want to go deeper. We want to let that love light of truth shine so brightly from within the authentic self that we can trust the sanctity of the relationships that we're developing. Then there's nothing to defend. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to prove. Isn't that a sweet way to live? So we step out of our disguises. We have disguises that, well, I'm only human. Human is great. I love human. It's fun. I'm glad that's how spirit showed up in us today. But let's not think that's all. Let's do this wonderful dance between the human and the divine. The beautiful dance between the absolute and the relative. Because in the absolute, you are whole, complete, perfect. You are magnificent. You are creative. You are bright. You're a genius. And then sometimes the human part of us, the relative part of us, does really silly things. I mean, that like, why did I do that? That wasn't what I meant to say. Well, you said it. But let's come in that instant into the remembrance that I can be lifted up, lifted out, and come into a whole new spiritual conversation. Now, when I say spiritual, I don't mean, I'm so spiritual. You know, you just sort of, you put your prayer hands this way, cock your head to the side, and do it. Not quite, don't you take a picture of that. Spiritual is living fully from that divine self within us that loves to manifest love, loves to be creative, loves to be the genius, and loves to see that within others. What are some of the masks we need to drop? I can't. I can't. That's the biggest one, isn't it? And we think I can't because we think I have to do it by myself instead of remembering, oh, I can't do anything myself. I can't wiggle my fingers by myself. I can't tell my heart to keep beating when I go to sleep at night. I'd be up all night, and I wouldn't know how to do it anyway. Let's realize how happily helpless we really are, because there's an infinite intelligence that's at work within our bodies, within our consciousness, all the time, guiding us, leading us, nurturing us, moving us forward, when we simply let go and align ourselves with it. How about, you want to drop the mask of I'm not smart enough? Mm-hmm. Say with me, I am God's genius. I am God's genius. How does it feel to say that? It feels good. There isn't anything in you that says, If there is, keep saying it until you finally realize that it's true. What other masks do we need to take off? I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm not enough of this. I'm not enough of that. I'll try. Oh, yeah. There is no try, only do. That's a good one. The roles that we play. No, it's fine. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm a CEO, I'm a janitor, I'm a girl, I'm a boy, what are the masks that we have and the roles that we play? They're fine, but that's not who we are. These are the roles we play. And I think Halloween, it's the best time to remember this. I'm not scared. Two. It's so wonderful to leave the pretense behind. To go ahead and play. But remember that book, was it in the 70s or so, Games People Play? Oh, that was a good one. Oh, Yeah, some of them you can't. Some of the names of those games you can't even say in church. But it's a way. It was a way for us to awaken to some of the things that we do psychologically that are not in our best interest. So we want to play happy games. We want to play healthy games. Finger puppets are fun, but. But you have that on video. Oh no! But we want to let the pretense dissolve. Leave it behind. We want to know our true identity. Do you know your true identity? Can we just help to remind each other of it every chance we get? We're not peanut butter and jelly. We're more than that. You are the presence of the divine manifesting as you, the absolute expressing through the relative, the divine manifesting through the human. And it's wonderful. So let's see that within ourselves and within one another. So this is the real security. It's the only thing that really makes sense in a seemingly insecure world. We need to see through all of that to the divine intention that is expressing itself through all the craziness. There is a divine intention that is bubbling up through all of it, and the more we align ourselves with who we are, and the more we're able to see that within one another, the more we're able to allow those masks to dissolve and to rejoice in the truth. Will you join me in this divine clear knowing? Will you practice with me so that we see who we truly are? When you look in the mirror, when you look at your loved ones, when you look at people on television, will you see through all that? It's a big order. And you're up for it because you are God's geniuses. You just told me so. And I believe you. So will you say with me, I stand tall in my truth.
I stand tall in my truth.
I invite the I am that I am.
I invite the I am that I am.
To express through me.
To express through me.
I radiate love.
I radiate love.
Confidence.
Confidence.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
And joy to all the world.
And joy to all the world.
And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.